You're listening to the SG Show. Sam and Steve are on the air.
Today on the SG Show, we'll talk about how to get homework done. We'll talk about what I've been reading. We've got a new quiz for you guys. And my dad is going on a business trip. All that and more on the SG Show.
Hello and welcome to the SG Show. My name is Steve.
And I'm Sam. Each week we talk about books, movies, fun things for families to do together, and, well, our life, really.
You can find out more about us and check out our past shows on our website,
which is sgshow.blogspot.com, which is sgshow.blogspot.com, or they can call us long distance and leave us a voicemail, which we can play on our show. And that number is 206-337-2677. Or email us at stevensam@gmail.com.
We received some great email this week. Thank you to everybody who wrote to us, plus a fantastic science experiment from someone named Dr. Slime, which we'll have to do for a future show. But first, we got this message from Australia.
Hi, Sam and Steve. It's Michael calling from Australia. I listen to your show and I really enjoy it. I have a young niece about Sam's age, and that gives me ideas of things that perhaps I can talk to her about. And so that's why I like your show. I also like it because it's just a breath of fresh air. A delight. So you guys keep it up, and thank you for all the work that you do. Bye-bye.
That's cool, Dad. Someone listening to us in Australia.
Yes, I checked, and we've got listeners in a bunch of countries now. England, Canada, Denmark, France, Japan, Brazil, Germany, Israel, and others.
I didn't know there any people lived in Denmark.
You didn't? You thought it was an empty country?
Well, I thought it was, since it was so close to the North Pole, it was uninhabited, just like Antarctica.
Well, if you're listening and you're in Denmark, let us know that you're there.
Please.
Also, our friend Chris Christensen from the Amateur Traveler podcast sent in this in response to our quiz question on the origin of basketball in our last show. He says, you mentioned the inventor of basketball. Did you know that basketball, volleyball, and racquetball were all invented at the YMCA?
Really? Wow.
I didn't know that. And Scott from Massachusetts sent in this. Hey guys, your show is inspiring. I have a 2-year-old son, and I hope that he and I can bond and share interests the way you do. Keep up the great work. Here's a suggestion for a quiz question. Was Sherlock Holmes real or fictional? Best, Scott from Maynard, Massachusetts. So maybe we can use that as a quiz question.
I think that... What is the YMCA?
A YMCA stands for Young Men's Christian Association, and it's a place where people can go to get exercise, to play basketball.
Oh, I see. I thought it was just that song. You know, the song YMCA? Let's give you the quiz questions now.
Okay.
Question number one. Scott wanted us to answer this one. Is Sherlock Holmes real or was he fictional or imaginary?
That's a good one. Okay.
In honor of Michael from Australia, how come when it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere, it's summer in Australia?
Oh, I've got a good experiment for that one. Okay. Question number three.
In question number three, why are dog years 7 years to every one person years?
Okay. Okay, great. So this is the end of your vacation from school. I guess your fall vacation is what they call it. You go back to school on Monday.
I wish I didn't have this homework.
What's been your assignment to do while you've been on vacation?
10 stories, half a page long, and I have really lame topics.
What are some of your topics?
Chocolate pudding. Tricks. Bats. Worms. The biggest mess I ever made. I mean, how are you supposed to write a whole story on one of those topics?
A half a page? That's about, what, 4 or 5 sentences?
More than that. Probably more than at least 6 sentences. And we said in one of our other shows before this one, of course, that we'd talk about how to make a podcast show. Right, Dad?
Oh, that's right. And I heard from a mom in the Bay Area, Isabel, who I have to call back. So sorry, Isabel, if I didn't call you back. We were on vacation, and then I'm going away on a trip for the next couple weeks, so it may be a while. But hopefully this will help you. So we have a couple of microphones, and we've been experimenting with different setups for quite some time, right?
Because once we used what we're using now, once we used a mixer, once we used a computer. But I'd have to say that I think that the mixer was the best, because this, the first time we ever recorded on it, it messed the whole show up, and we had to do the whole thing all over again.
I don't think the recorder messed the show up. I think that was your engineer, your audio engineer.
Me. Yeah, you.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have a couple of microphones. Sam is using a headset microphone now because it's just easier as he moves around and fidgets a little bit. The microphone always stays attached to his head. We used a cheap handheld one for the first couple shows, and it worked great when Sam was sitting in the same place. But if you're doing a show with kids,
you should try to get a headset because they'll be all fidgety.
And then I've tried a variety of cheap microphones, and then I splurged and I bought a nice microphone that...
with a stand with rubber band-like things that...
Yeah, it's called a shock mount, and I think it's the most important piece of equipment, because if I bang the table, then it doesn't transfer a rumble to the microphone. So that's it. We just use a couple microphones plugged into a recorder, nothing fancy, and then I throw it on the computer, edit it together in Adobe Audition.
But not always a recorder. It's sometimes a mixer.
Sometimes a mixer and goes right into the computer.
Uh-huh.
I've had various degrees of luck doing that. And I'll put up links to all this on our website so you can see exactly what we're talking about. Oh, you were going to talk about what you've been reading.
I don't remember if I've been reading any books. And the book I have been reading... is, I've already read it, so, and...
What book is that?
We talked about it, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. I read that with my dad, but then I'm reading it by myself.
So now, is this every single Harry Potter book that you've read all over again in the past couple months?
No, I haven't read number 3 or number 2, but I don't really like number 3.
How come?
Because Wormtail escaped.
What was the title of that book?
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
But you don't like that one as much as the other ones.
No, because, well, even though no one gets killed in that one, and in every other one someone gets killed, someone or something. Because number 1, Quirrell gets killed. Number 2, the Basilisk. And Riddle get killed. I don't really care that they get killed anyways, but someone still gets killed. Number 3, no one gets killed, but someone nearly gets kissed by a Dementor, which is even worse than getting killed. And number 4, Cedric dies. Sorry, Harry. Number 6, Dumbledore dies. Oh, yeah, I already told you that in a different show.
And you've been also, you like to read the newspaper in the morning.
Uh-huh. What? I usually just go right outside and get the comic. books and start reading.
Which is your favorite comic to read?
I'd have to say it's between Foxtrot and Baby Blues. Foxtrot, Baby Blues, and Garfield.
You like that Garfield?
I want to see the real movie of Garfield, you know, when there's that animated cat that's made to look real. Yeah, I want to see that one.
Maybe Mom will take you to see that.
Yeah. Or maybe we can just rent it from the movie place because, well, it's probably not in theaters anymore. It's old school.
Okay, before we wrap up today, let's answer the quiz questions. So what's number one?
Was Sherlock Holmes real?
So thanks, Scott, for this question. And this is a good time to talk about being careful with information that you find on the internet. In fact, if you look this up, you'll find arguments on both sides saying he was a real person, and other people say that he was made up. One thing for sure, though, his adventures were well chronicled by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle in his Sherlock Holmes mystery books. But I think the best answer was from the Straight Dope.
Straight Dope.
I'll put a link up to it on our website. And the Straight Dope says that Sherlock Holmes was solely the creation of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who lived from 1859 to 1930. One thing you might not know about Doyle, that he was a doctor, and a not unsuccessful one, but he preferred writing, and eventually he abandoned his medical career. Detective stories were in their infancy about the time that...
What's infancy mean? They weren't really popular?
That's right, and a lot of people didn't write them. Edgar Allan Poe had created what was arguably the first fictional detective more than 40 years earlier, and
what
Robert
was
Louis...
the guy's name?
Auguste Dupin. And, let's see, Robert Louis Stevenson and others had used detective characters and the mystery story format, but most of those stories are now forgotten. But late in 1887, Sherlock Holmes made his first appearance in a 200-page novel called The Study in Scarlet. And just so you know, Doyle was paid about $125 in money of the day for that story, which people are still reading today. And even in the early days, Doyle received letters from readers who believed that Sherlock Holmes was real and wanted to hire him. In London, the rooms that Holmes and Watson shared together at 221B Baker Street are now a museum. The rooms are fiction, of course, and although there is a Baker Street in London, there was no 221B. It was an address that Doyle made up, but tourists had been searching Baker Street for so many years trying to find the actual house that the street numbers were changed so that the museum could be built. That may be one of the reasons why people think that Sherlock Holmes was a real person, because there is a real 221B Baker Street, and the museum reproduces the rooms that were supposedly shared by Watson and Holmes, as described in the stories.
Watson is Sherlock's helper.
Have you ever read any Sherlock Holmes stories?
No, but I've read a book about a boy reading a book with all these Sherlock Holmes stories in it. Okay, question number two was, how come when it's winter in the United States, it's summer in Australia?
Here's a good experiment to do, courtesy of the BBC website. Here's what you need. A spherical piece of fruit, that means a round piece of fruit, so an apple with a stalk on it is particularly good, although an orange or lemon will do the job. And Sam is getting ready for the experiment here. A large, darkened room, so don't do this in your closet. A lamp. And let's go ahead and turn on our lamp.
Okay, our science lamp.
So now imagine your fruit to be the earth, while the light is your sun. The stem, or the core of the fruit, represents the earth's core and the north and south poles.
Okay,
so here's first experiment, understanding night and day. Hold the fruit level with the lamp. Notice how the side nearest the lamp is illuminated, while the side furthest away is in darkness. See that?
Yeah. I think when it's night here...
Where?
In the United States, the other half of the world, it's night. And then when it's day there, it's night for us.
So now you're spinning the apple around on its axis, And, yeah, wow. And you're seeing that different parts of it become dark, and other parts are in the light.
Uh-huh.
So that's how you understand night and day. Now, here's another experiment. Hold the earth upright with the stem on the top and spin the earth again. Notice that the whole side of the earth facing the sun has sunlight from the North Pole to the South Pole. So if you pick any point on the surface, you'll notice that it always receives light at some time during the rotation.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's not how the earth actually revolves around the sun. So let's repeat this, but this time tilt. Yeah, exactly.
Tilt it
backwards and then kind of move it around the sun, just like that. You'll notice how when you tilt it like that, that one of the poles has sunlight all the time.
And one never has sunlight.
Exactly.
And that's because, really, the Earth doesn't go like this. It doesn't tilt.
No, it does.
It does?
Yeah.
The Earth and...
So the Earth rotates around like this, and you'll see this would be summer in the southern hemisphere, where the Earth is pointed away from the sun.
But
when it's like this, the North Pole doesn't get any sun at all.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is summer in the southern hemisphere. Now, when you move this around the sun to the other side, you can see what?
The North Pole gets all the sunlight, and the southern hemisphere didn't get any.
And that's winter down in Australia, and summer in the northern hemisphere.
Cool. And the last question. Why are 7 dog years the same as 1 person year?
I've always wondered that one myself. The old rule of thumb that dogs age 7 times as fast as humans comes from dividing the average human lifespan by the average canine lifespan, but it's not very accurate. For one thing, most dogs reach adulthood in roughly 18 months, which would be the equivalent of a 10-year-old child, not really an adult. Also, while a 15-year-old dog would be considered the equivalent of a 105-year-old person, a lot more dogs live to be 15 than humans live to be 105. There's a handy online conversion site, I'll put a link up to that on our website, which suggests that a more accurate, down boy, a more accurate formula would be 10.5 dog years for the first 2 years, then 4 dog years per year. Oh, good doggy. Good doggy. Mm. The dog age website, and we'll put a link up to that on our website, measures your dog's biological age in human years according to factors such as breed, weight, lifestyle, and behavior. Basically, it's sort of a crude measurement of dividing a human's lifespan by a dog's lifespan. Good doggy.
Well, I think that's all for this week.
Yeah. Well, I'll miss you when I'm gone, Sam.
Me too, Dad.
We'll have another show in 2 weeks. I'm going on a long business trip, which includes stops in Boston, Atlanta, and Phoenix. But our show in 2 weeks will be just in time to talk about Halloween.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-337-2677. And you can send us an email at steveandsam@gmail.com. And you can check out our website at sgshow.blogspot.com. If you like our theme music, buy one of Larry Zarella's CDs. He's a great musician from Alaska, and there's a link to his site on the SG Show web pages. We'd appreciate it. Also, hurricane victims still need our help. If you haven't donated some money yet, please do. If you cannot afford to, please consider donating your time, or at least donate blood at your local blood bank. I think that wraps it up for today.
All right. Good show, Sam.
See you in a few weeks.
Bye, everybody.
And Denmark people, please send us an email or a voicemail. Bye for now. Boop, boop, boop. Woof.
Well, old Penn's place is empty now. I guess he's long gone to his rewards. But I can still recall the songs he sang. Heck, I even know most of his chords. So while I sit here on this roadside on the way to where I choose, I got his memories in my traveling bags. I got miles and miles on my shoes. I got his memories in my traveling bags and miles on my shoes. He said, son, listen, I go telling no lies to get you in big trouble. They just to follow you like flies. He said, son, watch where you're walking. Don't you be afraid to lose. You put your memories in your traveling bags and miles on your shoes. You put your memories in your traveling bags and miles on your shoes.
For more information on the things you heard about today, visit the SG Show website at sgshow.blogspot.com.